It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, oh, I can't understand it.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
It is not fair that just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed. Let's have a conversation. I am Kim Munson. This is the Kim Munson Show. It is Friday, and you made it, Producer Steve. This is one of your favorite days of the week, right?
Yes, but in 72 hours, you'll be saying the opposite. So,
oh, aren't you? You know, is the cup half full or the cup half empty with you this morning?
As any engineer would tell you, that just means the cup is twice as big as it needs to be.
Okay, well, welcome. I am Kim Munson, and thrilled that you are with me today. We have a great show planned for you in the third and fourth segment. It is our health and hydrocarbon show. And Rose Puglisi, who is a Mesa County Commissioner, will be joining us. And certainly hydrocarbons make our lives better in lots of different ways, but there's also the economic component of that. And with Senate Bill 181 that was passed by this legislature and signed by this governor, it basically is really saying to oil and gas development, you're not welcome here in Colorado. Now, they said that wasn't going to happen, but Halliburton, which is a big employer out in Mesa County, laid off 178 workers within the last week or so. And what does that do for the economic well-being, not only of those workers and their families, but also for the county of Mesa? And so we will be talking with Rose Puglisi on that. We have in studio with us two folks. I'm just absolutely thrilled to have them here, and that is Natella Manutsova. It is great to have you here, Natella.
Pleasure being here.
And you are stepping up to run for Denver City Council, or no, for Denver School Board, or for, right, Denver School Board, right?
Denver School Board at large, yes.
Okay. Bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And blessings to you also, Don Sheehan. You are running for Centennial City Council.
That's correct.
So we will be talking with you about why you are running, why people should vote for you, and we'll focus on the two of you in the second segment.
Perfect.
So it's great to have you here. And as we look at these issues, we look at them as freedom versus force or force versus freedom. There is this romance of socialism in our country today. Ultimately, socialism comes down to force. And it is never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, or their freedom via force, whether it's with a weapon, policy, or unpredictable and excessive taxation. And that's why we are looking at these issues. And sometimes the force seems somewhat hidden, but it's there. And that is why we have these conversations. We are in a great battle of ideas today. And we see the continued socialization of transportation, education, energy, housing, water, broadband, and data. And so that's why we talk about these things. Thank you to the team, Producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, and Charlie, for keeping this train on the track. And thank you to each of you listeners out there. You are treasured. You are valued. Just go out, strive for excellence. You've got a purpose. And take care of your heart, soul, mind, and body. My website is kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And the podcasts or the shows are there. Zach does a great recap, and the actual podcast is embedded right there in that show recap. And so you can listen there because, Don, not everybody gets up at 6 a.m. in the morning to listen to the show.
That's for sure.
I thought they did, but they don't. So the podcast is available. This is replayed from 10 to 11 p.m. every day as well. Before we jump into our inspiration and our funnies, I'm putting the finishing touches on my voter's guide. And I am a strong no on Proposition CC and a strong no on Proposition DD as well. But if you want some reasons to vote against Proposition CC, as many of you know, that is the state of Colorado, PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. Now, there's a difference, my friends, Natella and Don, between politicians and elected officials. And I know that you guys are running as elected officials to represent your constituents. But politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties are thinking of all kinds of ways to get more of your money. And Proposition CC basically is saying, may the PBI's government have our Tabor tax refunds forever and never have to ask us about that again. And Tabor, Colorado's Taxpayer Bill of Rights, it was passed in 1992, it's an amendment to the Constitution. It says to PBIs three things. It says, hey, if you want to raise our taxes, if you want to incur debt that we're obligated to pay off, or if you want to keep our tax refunds above a very generous formula for government to grow of population plus inflation, if you want to keep revenues above that, you just have to have the good manners to ask us. Proposition CC is basically saying we never want to ever have to ask you again. And so the answer should be no. If you need a reason to vote no on Proposition CC, we have hundreds of millions of reasons, all related to corporate welfare. If the state needs more money, why are tax incentives and credits, grants, etc., given to corporations? According to Good Jobs First Colorado Tracker, the Colorado Office of Economic Development and International Trade, through the Enterprise Zone program, and they have many different programs, this is just through the Enterprise Zone program, offered one award as a tax credit rebate to GCC Rio Grande, Inc. It's a cement, concrete, and coal manufacturer based in Mexico. The amount was $9,348,000, and this was during the years 2011 and 12. They were also offered in years 2014 and 15 a training reimbursement of $44,000 plus, and that's through the existing industry training program. Adding this to the previous total, and we started that a week ago Monday, just a week ago Monday, the grand total for offers accepted by corporations given subsidies by Colorado state agencies is $173,676,000. And we have to ask you, if Colorado is giving away all of this money, or I guess they're not really giving it away, they're taking less from them than everybody else, why is it that they need to, that they're trying to pass Proposition CC, which takes away the taper tax refunds of everyday, hardworking Coloradans? Steve, what do you think?
It's a paradox, I guess. And I'm so glad that, you know, you and Patty found this website and we're tracking this, because they're diametrically opposed. Why are you giving, is it a giveaway, or you're taking less from the corporations that you would normally take, and then turn right around and say, well, we'll just make that up by, you know, keeping this money from the taxpayers.
From the everyday little guy.
I don't get it.
One other thing, we're just talking about the state, but locally, and also on the county level, many times there's quote-unquote economic development packages.
Good point.
So we want to bring your attention to $1.5 million building assistance package that was unanimously approved on Tuesday by the Louisville City Council to Medtronic, Inc., a medical technology company with headquarters in Minnesota. Medtronic sought aid for an estimated cost for construction of an anticipated new campus of $95 million. Medtronic anticipates improvements to be about $23 million, and their furniture, fixtures, equipment are estimated to be $15 million. Medtronic asked for a 50% rebate of city building permit fees valued at $392,000, a 50% rebate of building use taxes valued at $885,000, and a 40% rebate of consumer use taxes valued at $280,000. Now, not only are they giving them breaks, and here you've got your little pizza guy over here running the restaurant, and they're having to pay full fare. They're having to adhere to all the rules and regulations. The big guy's coming in here and getting a break. And then, you know, what this does is this creates additional congestion on our roads. It creates pressure on our schools, on our water. And so I think the point here is that let's let the free market work. Please note that both of these companies and other companies that we're discussing are successful companies. Our point is that these companies do not need government money to maintain their success. We believe that the free market should stand alone without any government interference. It is better to cut taxes across the board without any preferential treatment for chosen companies that allows the government to pick winners and losers. Specific to Medtronic, why not limit burdensome rules, regulations, and various fees for all of the businesses so that regardless of size, businesses can prosper with additional capital to invest? That is the million-dollar question. So, hey, our inspiration for today is W. Clement Stone, and he lived from 1902 to 2002. He was 100 years old when he passed on. He was a prominent businessman, philanthropist, and a self-help book author. And I've had this on my wall for a long time, and it says, "Aim for the moon. If you miss, you may hit a star." And our funnies for today, Steve, are you ready? I think they're pretty good.
Yes, I previewed them, and you definitely struck gold here.
Okay. Number one, and this is all related to politics. Adlai Stevenson, he ran for president. He said, "I offer my opponents a bargain. If they will stop telling lies about us, I will stop telling the truth about them." Number two, why pay money to have your family tree traced? Go into politics and your opponents will do it for you. And number three, George Washington, and this is author unknown, George Washington is the only president who didn't blame the previous administration for his troubles. And with that, we are going to go to break because I'd like to make sure that we have a little extra time for Natella Manunceva and Don Sheehan, who are in studio. So let's go to break. When we come back, we'll be talking to Natella and Don.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans who live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day.
Catch all the games at Hooters and enjoy a Butter Bud Light draft with 10 boneless wings, just $10. Dine for two with the pitcher and nachos, just $20.
You want to succeed, so you need to dress for the job, event, or relationship that you seek. For more than 30 years, entrepreneur and stylist Kim Munson has been helping women look their very best. And guys, Kim can help you with made-to-measure shirts that fit great and you'll love to wear. Guys and gals, if you want to up your game, freshen your look, email kim@kimmunson.com for your initial style consult. Kim@kimmunson, MONSON.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson and thrilled to be having a conversation with two folks that are stepping up to run for, I think, some of the most important offices in the country. And one of them is school board, the other is city council, and thrilled to have in studio with me Natella Manunceva and Don Sheehan. Natella is running for Denver School Board, and Don is running for Centennial City Council. So Natella, let's go to you first. Tell us a little bit about yourself. I understand that you have a pretty amazing story.
Well, there's an interesting background. I moved to the United States in 2000, and I moved from a socialist country, which previously to that was a communist country. And Denver was the place that I can call home, and it still is the place that I call home. It has been quite a journey. English was my fourth language. I knew absolutely no words in English in any ways. I was not able to explain myself at any point in time, and it was the teachers that helped me learn the language and that assisted me in progressing and being successful today.
So you are stepping up to run for Denver School Board.
Denver School Board at large, yes.
Okay. And so why should people vote for you?
Well, I'm running for the students, I'm running for the teachers, and I'm running for the parents. And I want to make sure that we cultivate an environment where we bring everyone together and everyone's voice is heard. And we start the conversations, the difficult conversations, and making sure that every single student in Denver Public Schools receives an amazing education.
Well, and you know, what I've seen, Natella, with school boards is that we've lost a lot of intellectual diversity on our school boards. And many times it's become more consensus versus deliberation. And the American idea is really deliberating ideas so that you can come to the best outcome. Consensus, Maggie Thatcher said that nobody ever, you know, died for consensus. And I've been very concerned about this push towards consensus and tapping down, you know, real creative thinking as we look at these problems. What would you say to that?
Well, the best part is I'm not backed by anyone and no one endorsed me because I jumped into the race so late. So I want to make sure that everyone's voice is heard because I don't have to take a look at all the people who are backing me or supporting me in one way or another and then have to answer to them. I am truly an independent candidate who can take a look at every single situation and approach it with creativity and think outside of the box.
Okay, so you said you jumped in late.
I did.
So how are things going?
Fantastic.
Okay.
It has been quite an interesting last 3 months.
Okay. And what is your website? How can people get more information about you?
Absolutely. It is natellaforcolorado.com, and that is N-A-T-E-L-A for Colorado, everything spelled out.com.
Okay. Again, that's natellaforcolorado.com, and that's N-A-T-E-L-A for Colorado.com. Great. So let's hold that thought right there. Don Sheehan, you are running for Centennial City Council.
District 4.
Okay, so why are you jumping into this race?
I retired a little over a year ago, and part of what I wanted to do when I retired was to do some things that I had not done before. I was in the IT area, so computers and software, that kind of thing. I was appointed to the Senior Commission in the City of Centennial, and through all of that became very familiar with folks in City Council and the mayor and the way the government works and so on and so forth. We had a meeting to report to City Council. I want to tell you it was May or June. Everything's sort of blending together the last couple of months. And in that meeting, we talked about what we had done so far with the Senior Commission, what we were planning to do for the future. And in talking to my City Council person in my district, who was term limited, he said, well, we're looking for somebody to run for City Council. And I, of course, dismissed it pretty quickly, thinking, you know, I'm retired. I need to work on a golf game or learn how to fly fish or, you know, any number of different things, but not politics. But after a longer conversation with not only that council person, but several others and the mayor of Centennial, I decided that, no, this is a logical extension for me in the area of service that I would like to do for the city of Centennial. So that's the reason why I jumped in.
Well, thank you to both of you. Why should people vote for you, Don Sheehan?
Because I said so.
You sound like a parent.
I do, and I'm not really. But a couple of things. I like Centennial's a very unique city. It was formed less than 20 years ago, and it's a contract city. So it runs on a very lean status. We have less than 70 employees for the city of Centennial. Most everything, public works, plowing the snow, fixing potholes, that's all done at a contract level. And it is very unique. There's a lot of cities in the country that look to Centennial as a model for maybe ways that they would like to run things. I'd like to make sure that Centennial maintains what it is. It's a very safe community. It's very fiscally responsible. It's also very well managed. And as we and other communities around us grow with new population and what have you, we're going to have some challenges on how we deal with certain issues. And Centennial right now works very well with other regional governments. So Aurora is right next door to us. Lone Tree is right next door to us. Inglewood and so on. It's important that we have good, solid relationships with those other communities and try to solve some of the issues that are not just unique to the city of Centennial, but also issues that you might see at a regional level.
Okay. And how can people get more information about you? What is your website?
Very easy. Don, D-O-N, 4, F-O-R, Centennial.com.
And that is Don4Centennial.com. Again, Don4Centennial.com.
And you'll find the same thing on Facebook.
Okay, very good. Natella, let's go back to you. I have real concerns about education in America today. When I see kids that don't know some of the basic things about our history, penmanship has gone out the door. There's kids that can't, you know, divide without a computer. I feel like we're letting our kids down. One of the things we were talking about during break is I have another show where I've interviewed over 100 World War II veterans. And they used to have something on planes called navigators. They actually took off and they had to navigate using the stars and you know, different tools to figure out where they're trying to get to. Our kids don't have those skills now. And granted, you don't really probably you can make the argument you don't need them, but yet they don't have the skills that if the electricity goes off, how are you going to be able to function? And so talk to me about that.
Absolutely. So one of the other things that I do is I'm a part-time instructor at an acting school, and I get everyone between the ages of 6 to 82 was my oldest student. And it's an amazing experience. I've been doing it for about 12 years. And, of course, majority of the students are in their teens. And I have juniors and seniors coming into my classroom, and having a hard time with basic reading. They are having a hard time understanding what type of learner they are. And which also, this is, was one of the main reasons that inspired me to run, because I look at these students and I think to myself, why are we failing our future generations? Mm-hmm. Why do they not have the basics? How are we expecting them to learn and build upon that solid foundation if we don't even provide the foundation for them?
But yet we're spending so much money.
Absolutely. And we need to focus on making sure that every single teacher receives the tools that they need in order to have individuals and students thrive. And until we start the conversation with our teachers, with our students, and with our parents, and making sure that everyone is involved in this child's education, we're not going to get anywhere. We need to have the involvement of the parents. We need to make sure that we're listening to the teachers and making sure that we are supporting them and giving them the resources that they need.
Nutella, I really think it's important that we figure out a way to pay our excellent teachers more.
Absolutely.
I also think it's important, though, families, every child is different. I mean, you can have three children, same bucket of water, and they're all different. So their education is different. So I really think it's important that families have the freedom to choose what might be best for their children as far as, you know, their educational opportunities. How do you feel about that?
Absolutely. The parent knows what's best for their child. And with that in mind, if a parent has two, three children, they know how different each child is. And we cannot focus on a curriculum, on an education system that tries to fit everyone into the same box. Everyone is an individual, and we need to cultivate those individuals into being their best selves.
So that means there's educational options, school choice.
The parents know what's best for their children, absolutely. And the parents should be the ones who are deciding where their child goes, where that child gets an education. Some children do best in reading. Some children are much better with kinesthetic and hands-on. And getting a different option of education is vital, because we cannot expect every single student to learn the exact same way.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. And Don, let's jump back over here to you. I think city council races are really among the most important races throughout our country. And to your point, I think that many times we've acquiesced and let others, and we've seen a real movement, both on school boards and city councils, where real radical activists have run and been elected. And I think part of it's because many of us have said, oh, I'm retired, I'm going to work on my golf game, I'm going to learn to fly fish. And we each have a responsibility to step up here, because while we were sleeping, many of these races have moved over to the radical activists. I think that we have an opportunity from Blue Dog Democrats, unaffiliated, libertarians, Republicans, conservatives. I see people coming together and saying, we want to make sure that government does the core functions that it's supposed to do, but then get out of the way and let us live our lives. And so I think there's a real opportunity right now, but so many people are not doing what you're doing. And you're saying, okay. And actually, you're probably going to be able to play a little golf here and there, just not as much, because it is a lot of work to be on city council. I know I was on city council for 4 years. But
it's good to know.
Yeah, but why? Why, you know, have you made this choice? Because it's it in a way, it's a sacrifice, and I really appreciate you doing this.
Sacrifice maybe, but it's I think you stay young both mentally and physically by doing something that you've never done before. It's something that you've got to learn, and I think Nutella would agree that, you know, doing the campaign thing for somebody who's never campaigned before, this is a brand new and fun experience, but it's good. And there's a good quality goal at the very end of it all. You know, think something that's, I think, is going to be worthwhile not only to me, to help maybe me grow in my old age here, but also to help the city and provide service to my city as well, which I like. You know, it's a nice blend.
Well, it is inherently the American idea to work to make sure that we pass something good on to the next generation. And both of you stepping up to do this is inherently American to make that happen. So I so appreciate both of you getting up early, being here in studio. So, Nutella Manuntseva, right? Did I get it?
Correct, yes.
Okay, Natella Manuntseva, and your website is Natella, that's N-A-T-E-L-A for Colorado.com. Again, NatellaForColorado.com. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Greatly appreciate it. And Don Sheehan, also, thank you so much for stepping up
to run.
Wish you both a lot of luck on that. And your website is Don, D-O-N, for Centennial.com.
Correct.
Okay, that's Don for Centennial.com. So thank you to both of you for being here. And we have Jason McBride on the line. Hey, Jason, what's going on with you this Friday morning?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Kim. I just saw a report that China's economy grew at the slowest rate that they've had in over 20 years in the latest quarter.
Now, that is fascinating.
Well, I think it's interesting. And once again, I always want to kind of say, how are we doing and how are they doing? And again, you know, our markets are only about 1% off of the all-time highs right now, while, you know, China and, quite frankly, most of the rest of the world markets are floundering down 20-25% or even more. So, again, I know there's been a lot of consternation about the tariffs and the way that our president is approaching this, but it seems to be working. They seem to need us more than we need them, and they're talking about a partial deal. So I think it's good to see our markets near the highs. If we get a deal, we could really get a nice springboard upwards.
And what's the future saying this morning?
Not much, up 20 points.
Okay, you know, and it's, what's so interesting is there's, you know, we've had lots of conversations about this. First of all, Jason, you were one of the first guys to say on this whole tariff thing when everybody said the sky was falling is that that there will be changes that will be made. And with these tariffs, to see that China, actually, their economy is cooling off, it's going to put pressure on this communist government there to probably do something. And, of course, they're on the world stage with what's going on in Hong Kong and how they are using force instead of freedom. I think it's going to be really interesting what happens here.
Well, it is. There's a lot of interesting things happening all around the world that nobody might have actually expected to happen a few years ago, but there's probably things that needed to happen. So change is always kind of disruptive, but hopefully we're going to end up with a better deal in the end. And there we go. And I don't wish any ill will on China at all. But again, I just think when you look at the difference in markets, it kind of tells the real story of what's going on.
You know, and Jason, one other thing, speaking of China, I think I talked about it yesterday. Patty had found an article that the Trump administration, this was very, very quiet, but Obama, right, I think in 2012, now I can't remember if that was the year or not, but had made a deal, a 40-year lease for the communist China to have control of our second largest port in Long Beach, California. And the Trump administration reviewed that, looked at it from a national security standpoint, and that deal has been changed.
Yeah,
and they're no longer
going to.
And that, I think that's really important, Jason.
Yeah, I didn't know anything about that deal, and I've heard a little about it, just like you have, Kim. It's hard to, with all the stuff going on, it sure is hard to keep up and know all the deep details on everything. You get something like that happening, and you think, boy, that's interesting, and the next day there's two other things.
Well, we're trying to stay on top of it, and Jason,
right,
as our valued partner, you help us do that. So Jason and the whole team over there at Presidential Wealth Management, if you want to make sure you can fasten your seatbelt because things are interesting on a short-term basis from an economic standpoint, sit down, do a discovery session with Jason or any of the fine folks over at Presidential. That phone number, Natalie will be at the switchboard at 7:30, is 303-694-1600, 303-694-1600. Jason, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
All right. Have a great show, Kim.
We'll talk to you on Monday. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, Rose Puglisia is on the line. She is one of those real heroes. She is a Mesa County Commissioner, and when this crazy national popular vote piece of legislation was passed here and down at the legislature and signed into law, basically marginalizing our vote and our voice here in Colorado, she sprang into action with Don Wilson, the mayor down in Monument, And the national popular vote is going to be on the ballot in 2020. We're going to vote on that. So she's a real hero on that. But this is our health and hydrocarbon show. And not only does hydrocarbons make our lives better, but it's also good from an economic standpoint, particularly for Mesa County. And Halliburton just announced that they're going to lay off 178 people. And we wanted to talk to Rose about that as well. So we're going to go to break. This is the Kim Munson Show, and we'll be right back with Mesa County Commissioner Rose Puglisi.
Are you looking for news, not propaganda? Ready for a news source you can actually trust? How about a news site that doesn't want to sell you a subscription? Visit CompleteColorado.com to see all the latest news from around Colorado. Complete Colorado's staff scours news sources from around the state and nation to bring you only the top stories that affect you right here in our great state. Updated three times a day, CompleteColorado.com has full-time reporters doing original investigations and reporting like newspapers used to do, as well as opinion and political commentary from a variety of Colorado voices. And CompleteColorado.com is the only place to read columnist Mike Rosen. Always fresh content, always free, always informed. CompleteColorado.com, your complete source for Colorado news.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine has 30 years of experience with RE/MAX Alliance. As a director with the National Association of Realtors, Karen Levine works to protect private property rights. Karen Levine believes in homeownership. Because of Karen's love of dogs, Karen volunteers with GRR, Golden Retriever Rescue of the Rockies, helping golden retrievers find their forever homes. Choose Karen Levine to buy or sell your home because she understands that it's more than just a house. Karen Levine comes highly recommended by Kim Munson. Call award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance today at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Don't miss Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Join Kim Munson at Water's Edge Winery in Centennial or Colorado Cork and Keg in Castle Rock. In Fort Collins, attend Vino and Veritas at Ginger and Baker. Kim Munson would like to thank Presidential Wealth Management Loveland, Presidential Wealth Management Greenwood Village, Tina Francone with Straightforward Shooting, and Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week for their generous support. Vino and Veritas, Wine and Truth, a study of the Federalist Papers. Sign up today.
You'd like to get in touch with one of Kim Munson's sponsors, but you can't recall their phone number. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out my website, kimmunson.com. That's spelled M-O-N-S-O-N.com. And you can email me at kim@kimmunson.com. Thrilled to have on the line with me Rose Puglisi. I tell you what, she's a small package and she carries a big punch. Rose Puglisi, it's great to have you on the line.
Thanks so much, Kim. I really appreciate you having me on today.
Well, you are a Mesa County Commissioner.
Yes.
And you're doing important work. You know, I think that there's really a difference between a politician and an elected official. And you are, in my mind, an elected official because I see day in and day out you doing things for the everyday, hardworking Coloradans that you represent. So first of all, thank you.
Well, thank you.
It's not easy. It is not easy to do that. So I want to talk about Halliburton out there. This is our health and hydrocarbon show brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services. But first thing, Rose, just talk a little bit to us about the national popular vote. You and Don Wilson just sprang into action when that was passed down at the legislature and the governor signed it. So tell us what you did exactly.
So we filed with the Secretary of State a referendum, basically referring the question to the people. We had to get just under 125,000 signatures in order to get it on the ballot. And with 2,200 volunteers from the grassroots all pulling in the same direction, we got over 224,000 signatures,
wow,
way more than we needed to get it on the ballot. People have been really engaged, and what's been really interesting about this issue is that it's really been nonpartisan. We've had Republicans, Democrats, unaffiliated all saying that this is a bad idea for Colorado and we want to get our voices heard. So it's been an amazing movement and I'm really proud to be part of it.
Well, and you mentioned nonpartisan, and what I'm starting to see is, you know, this Democrat Party, particularly here in Colorado, is not the Democrat Party of JFK. It has now moved so far to kind of the radical left that there is a real opportunity, as you mentioned, to come together from Blue Dog Democrats to unaffiliated Libertarians, Republicans, Conservatives. Across that spectrum, I'm starting to see people come together, have conversations about these issues because they're very, very concerned.
I think I agree. And, you know, I think that there are definitely people who think they're extremes on both sides and really just want to see some more middle ground. And this issue, especially, I mean, people's votes are so personal to them. The fact that they were just taken away and given to places like California and New York just don't sit well with the people of Colorado.
And that's for sure, because Coloradans are pretty rugged, individualistic people. So let's move over to our other subject, and that is Senate Bill 181 was passed, which basically really tapping down new oil and gas development in Colorado. Now, we were assured by the governor and many politicians that it would not have an effect on the state of Colorado, but well, Patty had pulled a headline that Halliburton had laid off 178 people out in Mesa County, and hydrocarbons enhance our lives in so many different ways. You know, you can't, I mean, there's petroleum products in your phone or the clothes that we wear. Certainly we, you know, turn on lights, we drive our cars. Hydrocarbons really make our lives better. But there's also the economic component. And I just wanted to talk with you about this whole thing regarding Halliburton. So what's going on?
So Halliburton, so this is the second round of layoffs that have happened since Senate Bill 181 was passed and signed into law. And it was interesting because Executive Director Jeff Robbins of the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission had come out to Mesa County for Club 20 and was saying, well, you're not even going to see the effects. You know, we still have rulemaking. It's going to take a while. And I stood up and said, I'm not sure if you know what's going on right here in Mesa County, but we've already had our first round of layoffs from Halliburton, and there's still more to come. And so this is the more to come, which is really disruptive. You know, in these conversations about oil and gas development, what I always think gets lost is the family perspective. I mean, these people that work in the oil and gas industry and live in Mesa County and our surrounding counties, they have families. They contribute to our economy. They buy goods and services, which contribute to sales tax. Their children go to our schools. I mean, there's a real impact when there's an unfriendly business environment and the uncertainty of regulations coming down. I mean, why would you do business here? No person who's a good business person would say, I'm not sure what the business environment's going to be, but I'm going to continue to do business in your county. And it's not our county, obviously. It's the state that's really imposing these regulations. We have tried to work within the regulations. And Mesa County is different. You know, the Western Slope is different. Our topography is different. Our access to the resources is different. Our resources are different. And so none of that gets taken into account, which has been really frustrating through this process.
Now, you said that this gentleman with the Colorado, was it Oil and Gas Commission? Did I get that correct? That had come out?
Yes, the Oil and Gas Conservation Commission.
Okay. Have you heard from them as now that we've had these layoffs? Are you getting anything from the governor's office, or what are you hearing from them?
I have not heard anything. It's been quite silent. You know, obviously, there's it's interesting, especially amongst legislators. We had the Interim Committee for Energy legislation come out to Mesa County on this listening tour just a few weeks ago. I think it was back in August. And basically, you know, we all testified. We had coal counties testifying. We had oil and gas development counties testifying. You know, natural gas development is our big resource in Mesa County, and we were all testifying, and it was really interesting. You know, we had 5 minutes to tell our story, the impacts, and basically at the end of my testimony, I said, as you're contemplating legislation for this next session, all we ask is that you do no further harm to our energy economies. And the first question I got was, well, have you heard of the governor's office of just transition? And I was like, are you kidding me right now? So basically what you're saying is these high-paying energy jobs, we should just transition into what, service workers? And you think they're going to stay in our counties? I mean, of course not. And that's severe impacts on our economy. And then another legislator, and they're both Democrats, so, I mean, this is all taped. There's nothing secret about it. This other legislator said, well, you know, we just need to open the lines of communication. You need to tell us what you need. And I was like, really? For 5 minutes, I told you what we needed. We need your support on projects like Jordan Cove, where we can export our natural gas resources to Japan and help China clean up their air. I mean, basically, they're burning dirty fuels into the air, which affects our global environment. If you really care about climate change and you really care about the environment, then you should be supporting counties like Mesa, Rio Blanco, Moffitt, and Garfield, who are trying to export our natural gas resources. But all of that gets lost because they have one agenda, and it doesn't matter what the economy is going to do. They don't. You know, the front range is doing really well, and they're highly diversified. The rest of us are just trying to catch up, and they'll never give us a chance to really stabilize, and that's been very frustrating.
Well, and to that point, and I think let's go to break, but a couple of things. Audrey Barrios with Liberty Oilfield Services had been on several months ago, and we were talking about health and hydrocarbons, how hydrocarbons have been so good for people in third world countries because, you know, one of the biggest polluters is, you know, burning wood, dung, you know, variety of things like that to heat homes and to cook. And it also takes a lot of time. Typically, going out and getting water and finding fuel sources becomes a woman's responsibility in these third world countries. And it takes a lot of time to go and do that. So when you have clean burning natural gas or clean burning coal that you can is reliable, it actually is freeing women up in third world countries and starting them, helping families to work up the economic ladder. And it's also making the air much cleaner. If in fact, Rose, these elite politicians really are serious about cleaning up our air, then they need to do exactly what you were saying and need to figure out how to get the big polluters such as India and China to start to clean up their air. But instead, I think it is a bit of a different agenda, and it is really affecting Mesa County. So let's go to break. We've got Rose Puglisi on the line. She is Mesa County Commissioner. Halliburton just did a second round of layoffs. What that does to the economic well-being is really, it's hurtful for not only Mesa County, but also for those families. And so let's go to break. We'll continue this conversation. This is our Health and Hydrocarbon Show, brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services. We'll be right back.
A reverse mortgage can be an important financial tool for individuals 62 and older. It is essential to understand the process so that all of your questions are answered. With over 17 years in the mortgage industry, Lauren Levy, Polygon Financial Group, has the experience to answer your questions. Lauren knows that each financial transaction is personal. If you'd like to explore your options on a reverse mortgage or with rates down, explore options to remodel your home, buy a rental property, or move, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881 for a mortgage checkup.
You only have a few days left for three scary movies under the stars. The 88 Drive-In Theater will close for the season Thursday, October 24th. So get there now. Open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Thursday. See an independent film that takes place in a drive-in theater. 47 hours, rated R, followed by Joker and Rambo Last Blood. Admission is only $9 per person and includes all three features. Get directions now at 88drivein.net.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, kimmunson.com. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com.
Hey, welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson, and we are having a conversation with Rose Puglisi. She is Mesa County Commissioner, as well as she was one of the two folks that sprung into action when this national popular vote was passed by the Colorado State Legislature and signed into law by the governor that basically says that it nullifies the Electoral College votes, which is in the Constitution. And that was put into the Constitution so that the less populated states also had a voice in choosing our president. And what happened down here with the national popular vote in Colorado is that, in essence, would take our vote and our voice and give it to these big population centers like Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York, Chicago. And we in Colorado, I don't think, really like that. I think we like to keep our vote and our voice. And so, Rose Puglisi, thank you for stepping up and doing that.
Thank you, Kim. Really appreciate your support.
And we're talking about health and hydrocarbons. This is our health and hydrocarbons show brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services. And before we went to break, you mentioned an interaction that you had with the interim, Oil and Gas Committee from the legislature that came out on a listening tour. It doesn't sound to me like they were listening, but that's just my editorial comment. But you mentioned that you asked them about China and climate change. Climate change seems to be one of the reasons that many of these, I call them PBIs, politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties, are trying to push forward this particular agenda. But if we're really serious about it, then we need to be addressing China. And you asked that question to one of the members. So again, expound upon that just a little bit.
Yeah, so it's part of my testimony. And it's interesting, you were talking about basically lifting people out of poverty developing and underdeveloped countries, and I spoke about that as well, that basically exporting our natural gas resources can really help raise people out of poverty, which generally is something that we as people should be interested in. But then I also talked about the global environment, and then if we really care about the global environment, then places like China are burning dirty fuels into the environment, and that affects all of us. I mean, air is not stagnant. It doesn't stay in one place. It moves around. And so the United States, Colorado, Northwest Colorado can be a real leader in helping to clean up our global environment and through climate change, affect climate change in there. But, but we need to be able to export our natural gas resources. We have enough natural gas in the Piceance Basin to power the whole state of California for 50 years. So we have, in just one formation, an abundance of these natural gas resources. If we can export that to Japan and China and these Asian countries, it could really help to clean up our global environment. And as environmentalists, as most of our legislators claim to be, they should be completely on board with doing that. Not only will it help stabilize our economies in Northwest Colorado and help us to continue to diversify our economies for 20 years, because these contracts are for 20 years at an above market rate. I mean, for that type of stabilization for our communities, we've never seen anything like that. So they could help stabilize our economies, clean up the global environment for air and climate change, and lift people out of poverty. This should be the perfect example of a way that we can step up and really help the global environment, and yet they seem to be very closed off to it. So, like I was saying before, clearly their agenda is incredibly different than what they say their agenda is.
Well, and Rose, on the show, we look at these issues as freedom versus force, force versus freedom. And so under this narrative of quote-unquote climate change, we see all kinds of force. And here we've seen in Colorado forcibly closing down oil and gas production and moving the control of our energy into the hands of politicians, bureaucrats, and interested parties. And so it's It's subtle, but what is happening is the socialization of this particular industry. You see this happening in many other industries as well, such as transportation, education, housing, water, broadband, and data. And actually, a free and fair market works much better. But with this hard-handedness on the oil and gas industry, it's not compassionate. And let's talk about that just in a couple of different ways. First of all, you mentioned in third world countries, if we really care about lifting people out of poverty, which is, I think, one of the most compassionate things that we can do, is we're giving them opportunities. You know, I think one of the most compassionate things that one person can do to give to another is a job. And here we've got the Colorado State government that, because of their policies, are taking away people's jobs. I mean, that's ultimately what has happened with Halliburton.
Absolutely. You know, it was interesting, and this has been happening kind of slowly, and it's now starting to really come together. But back in June, we were selling our house, and we were going to get a rental house. And the moving company that I normally use is incredible. And we were moving literally half a block away. And I was like, hey, listen, we're moving. I need a moving truck. And they're like, I'm sorry, Rose, we have none. And I was like, what do you mean you have no moving trucks? I'm only moving half a mile. And I said, what are you working on that's that big that you have no moving trucks? And they said, we're moving people out of state. And I said, excuse me? And basically, all of those middle management, as early as June, them and their families were starting to move to places like Texas and Wyoming and Oklahoma and North Dakota, because they knew that the jobs were going to start going away based on regulatory uncertainty and just a non-friendly business climate here in Colorado. And so the resource is going to be here. It's been here for centuries, and it'll be here for a long time after. And so they'll just wait. And in the meantime, we're losing good paying jobs from our economy and these families that are in our communities.
But then you mentioned, when you asked these legislators that were out on this listening tour, that they mentioned something about the Office of Just Transition. This sounds to me like something right out of George Orwell's 1984. What the heck is that?
Well, so apparently the governor had signed, I believe it was by executive order, establishing the Office of Just Transition, and then later the Office of Future Work, to basically transition. I think it's targeted more at coal miners.
Which is a whole other industry they're putting out of work.
That industry has been under attack for a long time. And so basically it's transitioning them out of coal jobs. And Delta County, which is their neighboring county, has a lot of coal, and so does Moffitt County. They both testified and said, okay, so you're basically going to transition these high-paying, good jobs from the coal industry to what? Service industry jobs? They're not going to stay here. And that's exactly what we're seeing right now. We're seeing mass exodus of people leaving our communities. And it leaves our communities in a really bad place. And it just, that whole concept seems lost on the legislature.
Did they have a response to the jobs that people would be transitioning into? Did they have a response on that?
No, it was basically, well, we're going to offer you all these services. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of you.
Oh, so we use public policy to take away your good-paying jobs where you're able to take care of your family, and then we're going to come in with services to make you more dependent on government. At least that's what I'm hearing, and I don't find that compassionate. I don't find that compassionate whatsoever. So, hey, Rose Puglisi, we have just a couple of minutes, and this is a question I have never asked you, and that is, how did you become you? How did you step up and become Mesa County Commissioner, step in on this national popular vote, stand for the people of Mesa County on this listening tour? A couple of minutes. How did you become you?
I've really been dedicated to public service. But what's really been interesting is, you know, I got started in politics about 10 years ago just by going down to our local party and asking for a yard sign. And I was young and wanted to get involved. And I had some great people who brought me in and said, here are some opportunities for you. And I've really just been able to grow through there. People saw potential in me that I never did. And obviously, I think it's been able, I've been able to use my skills and talents to really advocate for the people of Mesa County.
Well, and that's really what an elected official is supposed to do, is to represent, you know, your constituents, the hardworking. I look at, you know, I look out the window and when I drive over to the studio, you know, people are up, they're working, you know, people in pickups and trucks out there working, getting ready for the day. And a vibrant middle class is inherent to the American idea. And the policies that we've just talked about out in Mesa County is you are seeing the middle class is leaving, and then you will have the haves saying that we're going to offer services for the have-nots. The problem is, ultimately, as Maggie Thatcher said, you're going to run out of the resources for the haves to give to the have-nots, and it really brings everybody down. So final thought, Rose Puglisi, Mesa County Commissioner.
I think that we need to continue to gather together as people to advocate for the energy industry and the jobs that they bring. And I think we can have it all. We can all coexist. We can have good paying jobs and a clean environment if people really open their minds to how we can do it.
Okay. Well, Rose Puglisi, thank you so much. This has been our Health and Hydrocarbon Show, brought to you by Liberty Oilfield Services. And just keep me in the loop on what's going on, because if you see a challenge out there, next thing I know, you're right in the middle of it, you know, representing hardworking, everyday Coloradans. So, Rose Puglisi, thank you so much.
Thank you, Kim.
And our quote for today is W. Clement Stone. And he says, have the courage to say no. Have the courage to face the truth. Do the right thing because it is right. These are the magic keys to living your life with integrity. So today, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. This is Kim Munson signing off. God bless you, and God bless America. Young, like a new moon rising fierce through the rain and lightning. Wandering out into this great unknown. And I don't want no one to cry, but tell them if I don't survive.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.